Hey guys, I'm Cassim.
And I'm Fiona Nova.
And you're listening to the Cream Team Dream Stream, sponsored by the fine folks at HeartAudioCables.com.
Use code KWIO at checkout at HeartAudioCables.com to get 15% off your entire order.
That's right. And we're also available wherever you listen to your podcast, including Apple and Spotify.
Thanks for listening.
Great work.
Hell yeah.
That made me come.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Cream Team Dream Stream. We are 66% of your hosts. We're also a day late. Are we a dollar short? Stay tuned to find out. I'm Cass. With me is Case, as always. I'm fresh off my trip from Austin. I'll tell you guys all about it. I'm a little under the weather, so sorry for my nasally sound. But I just had to hop onto the pod today to find out what the hell happened at the Wonka experience that Case went to this weekend that I couldn't make it. The whole time I was on vacation, I was out of town. I was like, I really fucked up. I feel like that would have been the perfect stream, but I'm glad that you went, and I need the download of it. We have a bunch of news to talk about, and I'll give you my lowdown on Austin, but it's been quite a few days, and obviously I've been struck with some sort of cold, flu.
Curse.
I was around, my friend Jamie has two kids. One of the kids just has like snot perpetually right underneath each nostril. And I had to have come from that, or it could have come from the airport. I took a COVID test. So far, so good. So I'm all good over here today. I just sound bad, which is par for the course.
Yeah, I mean, I think you sound, you know, like a king, Cass. Cassim said, "I'm so sick, Case. I don't know if I can do the podcast." I said, "You're doing it. This is for you, Cass. This is for your health."
Right. We got a quota. We got to hit it.
Dude. Yeah. I was like, the man upstairs isn't going to just take "I'm sick" for an answer, okay? Who's the man? You guessed yet. I did go to the Oompa Loompa. Wonderful World of Wonka experience, L.A., and I streamed it. I guess I could pull up the VOD maybe just to give you a taste. I don't know. The problem with the VOD is it's just me wandering around with a camera. So I don't know how well I was honestly capturing the event.
Yeah, if there are moments that you think would be cool to show, like I am curious. I'm very curious about it. And I can even buy you some time while you do that.
Okay.
I'll give you my rundown of the weekend. I went to Austin on Thursday to go shoot a couple episodes of my old podcast crew that I did Pajama Pants with. They have a podcast in Austin on the Your Mom's House Network. It's called Not Today, Pal. Does gangbusters. Okay. Mm. Does really good. I haven't been down there to shoot the pod. I've been down there once, but it was before the pod sort of launched. So it was essentially a return, a Pajama Pants reunion, us three on their new pod. And it was great. Went really well. What I really enjoy about going down to Austin is like mainly me and Rob essentially really bond over what we're going to be eating on any given moment or on any given day. And two of the best restaurants I've ever been to are right there in Austin, Texas. And I've mentioned them before, but they're Uchi, which is a sushi place, and a Mexican place called Suerte, and some of the best tacos I've ever had and some of the best sushi I've ever had right down there in Austin, Texas. So we essentially plan a trip around going to eat around these places, and then we try and say it's to get together to do a pod, but ultimately it's just to gorge ourselves. and we spent, oh geez, I think there was four of us at Uchi at the sushi place. It's not a humble brag or anything. This is a problem, but the bill was like $700.
Oh wow.
And it was it's like, I don't think any alcohol. Maybe there was like maybe one person had alcohol out of the three of us. Yeah. Live and Easy says no barbecue. There was I did eat at this place called Laura, which is Asian fusion barbecue. And I had that, but no straight up barbecue. And I know you guys, you got to go to Terry P's or whatever, you know, they always have some very famous barbecue place. I had it last time I was there. It's fine. I really do enjoy it. But the barbecue places, like the really good ones, are, it's like a scene. There's like hundreds of people, I feel like, trying to get in. And it's not necessarily a quick experience, you know?
Yeah.
And yeah, so a lot of white folks eating barbecue. So we did the pod, and it was funny, and I think you might get a kick out of this, because there was some kind of, I wouldn't call it a beef, it's not really a beef, but there's a back and forth between them and a one Howie Mandel going on.
Okay.
Right, and it was, and I thought of you the whole time, because I thought you would have really got a kick out of this whole situation. Howie Mandel came onto their pod as a guest. I don't know how many weeks ago. He was like kind of like a one of these guys that comes in. He had apparently a huge entourage, and almost like didn't know where he was, and like was very like, all right, are we doing this? Like, where do I sit? It's like very business-y type of guest, where they come in and just fly in, a bunch of folks flying out. And while he was there, it didn't seem like, it seemed like the vibes were off. Sometimes you do a pod, both parties can be cool and great and funny, but sometimes the vibes just don't necessarily match. And it made for, I think, kind of an awkward pod. And I guess he has a reputation of this. And there is a YouTube channel out there called Too Lazy to Try. Mm-hmm. And he did one of these, you know how we talk about these YouTube channels that do like exposés or just sort of like in-depth analysis about one specific thing, and in these days it could be about anything. He did one on Howie Mandel being a podcast guest, and he sort of picked apart and deep dive and took some stuff that Jamie and Rob, who do the Not Today Pal pod, they had Jim Norton on an episode, and they got to talk about, like, yeah, we had one guest. They never named him or anything. It's like, we had one guest. It was like the vibes were a little off. It was just a little weird. Mm-hmm. And then it was just deduced that it was Howie Mandel. And so while I'm staying at Jamie's, Howie Mandel, I guess, like, dropped a response to all this. and I guess he had, like, DM'd her about, like, hey, he sent her, which I think is like kind of a okay move. If you were rumored to be bad on a pod, you send the person in that pod like, hey, I'm sorry if I was bad. I thought it was great. I'm a big fan or whatever, which is what he did. And then she said, thank you. It was great to have you. She didn't like say that, she didn't validate what he was looking for, which was, yeah, we were talking about you. And, it threw him for a loop, I guess. And he said, so I was the guest. And so that, and she didn't respond to that. And I think, which is probably good, because he ended up like showing her DMs on his show or whatever.
Oh my God.
Shut up, Google. And it was basically him spending, I don't know, 20, 30 minutes on his pod defending himself, but also like throwing himself under the bus, because he was like, I'm a fucking lunatic. I'm a basket case. I'm a big fan of Sopranos. I'm sorry if I came. He was very like self-conscious. He seemed really, really in his head about it. And so when we were filming our pod, it was like that morning. So I was like, you guys have to address what is going on, because this is like great for your pod. You know,
yeah. I mean,
like a lot of people are going to want to tune in just to hear what you, and you guys look great, because you didn't say anything mean. You didn't throw anyone under the bus. Somebody deduced that it was him, and like you still didn't say anything mean. You didn't say anything mean in the DMs. And so it was kind of really fun to be in this like middle of this like totally harmless, unimportant, quote unquote beef between them and Howie Mandel. And by the way, like I had to convince Rob to like even address it, because Rob always steers away from controversy, like really hates being targeted in any way. And I thought it was really, I thought they did a great job addressing it. And it may or may not make it in their show, I don't know, but I thought it was, there's a couple people in here that it's a super nice beef. It's a couple people that listen to that pod in here, and sort of like everything I've said is already publicly out there. So it'll, we'll see what happens if they decide to respond.
Now onto the stuff that's not Cass. Go.
Yeah. I wish. It is really not a whole lot. They're just not the type of folks to like sling arrows, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm kind of standing there with their producer being like, you don't have to sling arrows, but you can definitely take advantage of, you know, the attention, the eyeballs, because people will probably be looking for some sort of response. I was barely a guest, you know, I was like, we barely even talked about me or anything. There was a nice little surprise that happened during it. I don't want to spoil that, but it was a really, the pod flew by. It was really great. And yeah, that was my trip to Austin. Otherwise, we sat around, we played a lot of Settlers of Catan, we ate, yeah, just hung with their kids. And it was a really, really nice few days. Obviously, hate being away from my girls over here.
Oh, yeah.
I hate it.
All the girls on their own?
All three girls were on their own over here. I don't think I've spent that much time. Oh, is the audio doubling, guys?
It shouldn't be now. I think it should be fixed. Okay.
Sorry. Yeah, I don't think we've spent that much time apart since we've been together. So it was, you know, one of these. It's like, oh, what'll happen if I'm gone for 4 days? Will I come back to a bunch of bodies? Will there be a new man that replaced me? There's all kinds of stuff. She did a good job. Nothing. Everything is as it was, except I brought a sickness in, and I feel bad because like all night I was probably just like snoring and sneezing. And you ever do that? I don't know if you and Kendall, but if you get so sick and you're so loud that you wake up and your partner's not even in the bed, it's like,
that's happened to me. Yeah. Kendall's a real trooper though. So less so with her, yeah. But that has happened to me in the past.
Yeah.
I'll just wake up and Kendall will be like sandwiched between eight pillows. But that's unfortunately sometimes when I'm not even sick. It's just when I'm snoring like a psychopath.
Yeah. I started snoring maybe a couple years ago. So it's a function of not working out.
Yeah. It's worse when I don't work out too, which is crazy that I'm even snoring then, because like I'm like, hitting that gym 24/7.
Dude, I know, dude. You're funny. We look great, is how I say.
Howie Mandel is one of those figures that like I wouldn't think of as having a fan army that could like do harm to you if you catch Howie Mandel's ire. But then I'm like, right. Oh wait, he is actually super famous. He's one of those people
it's
that's
weird.
Kind of stealth super famous, but he's been on network TV for like 40 years.
I was thinking about this too. It's like he's way more famous than we probably realize, but he's very low key. Like he's on America's Got Talent, right? He's a judge on that show. Obviously, Deal or No Deal. He's the creator of Bobby's World, which is where I personally.
Yeah. That's why I can't help but respect him just a little bit.
I don't particularly tune in for his comedy. I don't know if his brand of comedy is that in which I'm drawn to. I don't know if he still does comedy or not.
I don't even know what it's. I don't know if I've ever seen him do stand up.
I feel like he was a stand-up, but I also know he's like a famous, he has OCD, you know, he's like a germaphobe, which is one of his, I think, better qualities. And so,
have you ever seen the clip of Dana White walking off of his podcast?
I saw that for the first time while I was over there.
Oh, okay.
I don't know what caused it. What happened, but it just essentially it's Dana White saying, I'm tired of fucking podcasts, I'm tired of being a guest on podcasts, and he just gets up and leaves. It seems like they had a beef or something, and I don't know if anyone can shed any light on it, but
yeah, it's hard for me to think of two guys I care about less, so having a beef is sort of like,
yeah,
I guess it's, I mean, it's sort of interesting, but I'm like, oh yeah, I mean, it's hard for me to pick a side here. I guess I'd actually be on the side of Howie Mandel over Dana White, and that's a real achievement for Dana White.
Yeah, they're both like super hairless. Like it's just like the way the light was refracting off their heads into each other's eyes.
Yeah.
Sort of like, you know, signaling some sort of response that they couldn't handle.
Well, you go bald actually because you have too much testosterone. So when two bulls like that meet in the woods of podcasting, someone's got to go. And I guess Howie Mandel won in that sense.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. Two enter, one leaves.
Yeah. He stomped his designer Air Jordans on the ground and scrubbed them against the dirt, and he scared Howie Mandelaway.
That's a great observation that he's got a very unique aesthetic, I think, these days. He's very into fashion, mm-hmm. or what seems like fashion. I will tell you this, and I actually did this apology on their pod, but I don't know if it'll make it in. But he has a younger son called Alex Mandel, and I think he emailed me in like 2012 because I think he was a fan of the YouTube and he wanted to collab. But it just came to me like recently when all this Howie Mandel stuff was going on, and I never responded because I was out of my mind back in those days. But I issued a public apology to him. But the email was very much like, "Hey, I'm Alex. Howie Mandel's my dad. I really like your stuff. I'd love to collab. Would love to get you on my show," or something like that. And I don't like to be the type of person that doesn't respond, but sometimes I think, especially back in those days when that stuff was coming in quite a bit, it's like impossible to really like respond to everyone. Or if you do, like they just want to they want you to respond so they can get their hooks in for something. And so mm-hmm. it's like sometimes safer to do that. Now send them in, dude. Send in your responses.
Let's get Howie Mandel's son on the pod.
Let's get him, dude. I should email him back and then have him ghost me for 12 years. I think that would be appropriate.
You should. Getting a reply after 12 years is very funny. So,
like, hey, man, you still interested? Is this still
that's
good?
All you say?
He was like, I don't know how old, that 18 when he sent that. He's probably 30 now. Hey, dude, schedule just cleared up. Are you good this week?
You know, I've met a couple celebrities' kids, and I would say before having done that, if someone introduced themselves as "I'm Howie Mandel's son," I'd be like, "That's kind of sad that he feels like he has to do that." But now I kind of find it refreshing because so many celebrities' kids like changed all three of their names just to try to hide their connection, even though they're still using every connection they have to their dad to get ahead or mom to get ahead in the business industry.
They want the illusion of them sort of detaching, but they need all the help from the nepotism that they can get.
If I was Howie Mandel's kid, I would just cover my scalp in Nair every day just to really cement the look. And get a dog
it's
tag.
Something about
Howie Mandel's son.
It's something about being bald and wearing like purple tinted glasses indoors that not anyone can just do. Like you have to be a certain level of celebrity for that.
Yeah, he kind of feels like who's the guy who runs Amazon? I'm so bad with remembering.
Jeff Bezos.
Yeah, he feels like Jeff Bezos' like shadow clone. Like he put up the Naruto fingers and a couple Howie Mandels popped off.
I'm looking up Howie Mandel's net worth. As of 2024, this is really low. 60 million?
Only 60?
I thought he was in the hundreds of mil.
I thought he got 10% of every Deal or No Deal case that got opened.
Yeah, he gets a little taste from every case.
Yeah, that's the connection to the banker. He should have been flexing that.
Oh, man. By the way, he's so bald now. I really loved his curly mullet that he had back in the day.
Yeah.
He's a much more relatable person with the hair. Now with the bald, I think everyone's going bald these days.
Losing your hair really damages some men. You know, you're doing cool stuff. You're making Bobby's World. You're voicing Gremlins. You lose your hair and you turn to the dark side. You're like, you know what? I just want people to guess 50-50 style if a suitcase has money in it.
Was he a voice of a gremlin?
I think that's what I know him for, is Bobby's World, and he was like the voice of Gizmo, which is not something I would think about.
Oh, he did Gizmo?
Mm-hmm.
Dude, I love that for him, and I love that for me.
I know. That's why I can't hate him, because I did like Bobby's World, and I do love Gremlins.
I love Bobby's World. It was wild, and I don't know. There is something now that we're older, it's like, I always like squint a little bit when somebody's like, yeah, I'm making a kid show. I
think it's the way they're saying it, Cass. If they walk up to you, they're like, making a kid's show.
And you know what they do? They do the same thing that guy that was caught on TikTok at the snooker championship. Did you see this guy?
Oh,
this guy?
My God. Is that in the rundown?
Smelling? It's not. It's
I don't
not,
think we can show it.
It's not because I didn't know how to show it, but we can talk about it. But first, I need to hear about...
Okay.
Wonka experience.
So just for a little context, this is very shaky cam style footage from me, but here's the entrance to it.
Okay. Yeah.
It's, you know, pretty standard entrance, but it was in like a just kind of, you know, like a downtown LA warehouse kind of alleyway situation, which is not actually that surprising for events like this. But if you want the whole kind of entrance experience, Cass. Yeah. Oh no, if my computer will hold up. Yeah, here it is.
Oh my God. It's in an open, just one warehouse space?
Just one warehouse space. I honestly think it looks like my internet connection wasn't holding up too well, unfortunately. But I think it was a little smaller overall than the photos.
Oh my God.
Like, I'm way bigger than
what did they expect you to do there?
It wasn't built. It was built for Oompas. I'm in their territory now, Cass. And I'm
that
Oompas.
That reminds me of Spinal Tap with the Stonehenge.
I'll unmute it. The music was like super loud. Which I guess because my mouth is so close to the phone, you can still hear me, but I could barely hear myself talking.
I don't know if you can see it, chat, but there's a performance up there.
And yeah, there were like, there were performances, but it was mostly just people kind of, just sort of milling around. Like the actors were a little standoffish, I would say, which is fair. In the odd, I think it still carried over some of that original vibe of like nobody knew why the fuck they were there. Everyone kind of had the understanding that they'd already been suckered and that we were all fools for paying to be at this event. And that kind of felt like the unspoken energy of the room. But I will say, eventually they start doing performances. It looks like some of them have been muted because some of them were basically covers.
Copyright. Yeah. What's going on there?
So two Oompa Loompas were on stage. This was my favorite part, probably. Two Oompas came out just to kind of... They basically just fucked around for like 10 minutes. They kind of just wandered through the crowd. But eventually they... Oh, this is probably why it's muted and it's my favorite part. Eventually they play Scream by Michael Jackson and Janet Jackson. And they just danced around for like 5 minutes. Other than that, there was like there they go. They almost, they kind of came for Kendall. He's going for the kiss. But then I think I intimidated him by accident with my powerful masculine aura, and I scared him off.
What the hell?
Yeah. And then there was a...
What the hell?
That's the Oompa Loompa lady. She was kind of emceeing the performance section of it. But anyway, it was mostly music. There was a very nice but kind of ranty comedian. I'm trying to find the music guy because he was like kind of going a little hard.
But I do think about half the crowd is already gone.
And yeah, half the crowd did leave. Oh yeah, so then there's just a lot of music kind of like this.
Wow.
Honestly, I liked this guy. Yeah, that's Tipsy something or other. Live and Sleazy might remember his actual handle. But anyway, that was the basic vibe. It was like a weird kind of hodgepodge of influencers who I guess were probably invited and were only there for like 10 minutes to take photos and leave. And then I guess just, online troll humans like myself who read the original article and were like, well, what will this be? So then we just went. And I'd say about half the people left before the performance started. At one point, it was like pretty full. And then people were like, I don't know what's going on. It took about an hour and a half for the oil performances to start. I guess longer if you showed up on time. And all that was really
in
the
way. It was a four hour event.
It did actually, if I'd showed up at 5:30, it would have lived up to the 4 hours because I think it didn't end until about 9 or 9:30. But there was the only thing you're really doing there was mill about, listen to the extremely loud music and take photos in front of like they had a cease and desist letter from Nathan Fielder that they blew up and put on a wall, which I thought was pretty nice. Which is also the fact they said he might be coming is a wild move for an event to make.
Did they just Nathan Fielder?
I think they did. I mean, I think they were kind of maybe hoping by mentioning someone like him, he might just show up. Because it was so bold to say he would be there, and that's sort of in the realm of what he does, though not really. But no, instead they just got the hard cease and desist. But I mean, they also said Timothy Chalamet and Zach Galifianakis might be there.
$44. Was it worth it?
Live and Sleazy says, and Live and Sleazy, I often think because the things he types sound so absurd, they're probably a bit, but I know they're not. It turns out the cotton candy they had was laced with THC, which is wild to hear because maybe I didn't get the cotton candy. But I didn't hear that mentioned anywhere. I'm hoping if they, when they gave it to people, they at least said that.
Are you serious?
That is not something I knew until just now.
Relapsed if I would have gone to the Wonka experience.
I mean,
cotton candies. Something I probably would have tried, Case.
It was reported by Angela Yang of NBC. Jesus Christ. Oh, man. They're bringing the controversy back. That is wild. I did not hear any mention of that while I was there. And I did ask for cotton candy.
Did you get any footage of the cotton candy?
There's people walking around eating it, for sure. And at one point, I walk up to a guy, and I'm like, can I still get some cotton candy? And he's like, yeah, they'll be back in a minute. But the cotton candy was totally empty. God.
Dude, that is a major no. I'm going to tell you right now. That's a no-no.
That's a pretty big no-no, lacing your food with drugs without telling people. It's not so, it was extremely loose. It was hard. Like, they'd clearly put a little money into getting, like, renting props, or at least renting, like, a big glow-up balloon wall, which was the main thing in the room that was kind of, like, visually, like, oh. But mostly, for the first hour and a half, it was just, like, the unknown mask guy, well not the guy, but just the unknown mask. They had someone in it wandering around hiding behind a mirror, and then if you walked up to the performers, they would like lightly improvise with you, but mostly kind of had the energy of like, please don't talk to me, which maybe was keeping it authentic to the original experience. Yeah, they had Black Grandpa Joe. I thought that was a white guy. I talked to the grandpa from it. They had like a white guy in a bed, but maybe there was also a Black Grandpa Joe.
Wow, they had a Black Grandpa Joe. The part that you were most surprised by was?
I mean, the thing I'm most surprised by now is hearing that cotton candy had THC in it. I would say the thing I'm most surprised by is, I think just because I really enjoy live performances, even if they're in like an insane cut. The performers were being real troopers in my opinion, because they just kind of, especially like the couple music acts they had seemed to just be kind of vibing up there, even though the context could not have been stranger. And the audience was like, the energy was like kind of like nervous online kid a little bit by the time the performances came around. Like, it was definitely music designed to sort of dance and like get pumped to. And everyone was just like,
wow. I love the commitment to the bit. I really like how you followed through with the whole thing. I think seems like a lot of people were there. It seemed like the lighting was a little off in certain sections, like in the corner, you know, where they couldn't afford the lights.
Mm-hmm, it's pretty dark.
They were hoping to get sort of lit from the some of the stuff in the center.
Chats bring up, I bought Kendall a drink too, but I bought two $15 drinks, one of which was a Thai iced tea just covered in green frosting. Which was pretty, the iced tea was fine, but the green frosting was pretty disgusting.
Was there food?
There was, and Kendall got some of the food too, and she said that was also fine. So whoever was doing it was doing a better job, seemingly, than the original person. Like, there was actual edible stuff, apparently too edible in one case, and it had like a little bit of a look to it. Although there wasn't a huge mushroom, which I felt like was the main event of the original Glasgow one. Oh, and then the sad Oompa Loompa did do a Q&A at the end, and it does feel like she's riding this for all it's worth, so good for her.
Oh, so she actually was there.
Yeah. And someone was like, are you going to do more with this? And she's like, it's dying down a little bit, but Halloween's coming around in a couple months, and it'll be back for Halloween.
Is she like British? Is she?
She's Scottish.
She's Scottish. Oh, yeah,
so Scottish. Everything I just said, but, you know, Shrek, obviously.
Yeah, that's right. Perfect. Wow. You guys can follow that action as it unfolded on your VODs, right? Still there.
It's still there if you're curious. Watching the footage back, I finally ordered a gimbal for my phone because I was like, this is unwatchably shaky.
Ooh,
but you know, there's some moments of clarity in there, so feel free to kind of pop around.
Did you get the Osmo?
I got the something 360. It's like a cheaper Osmo. I was like, I won't, because in my experience, you know, if it mostly works, it works.
Yeah, I have an Osmo, and I don't really know how to use it. Next time, I'll just let you borrow it. It's like, it's cool when you get it going, but I just don't know how to get it going. There's a lot of settings.
So you did miss out. The takeaway is you did miss Outkast. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, it feels that way. All I got was a cold. Mm-hmm. So who's laughing now?
You could have been lightly bored for an hour and then broken your sobriety by accident.
Yeah, that's wild to me. Because sometimes I do worry about that. Just like, because every other like canned drink at supermarkets these days, like they all kind of have the same branding, like the CBD drinks versus just like a regular seltzer drink. They all kind of look the same, mm-hmm. and you really have to be careful. And I know Ashley sometimes orders, like she's had a couple CBD drinks here, and I always have to like do a double take and read the print on there. And CBD is not a big deal. That wouldn't ruin my sobriety. But like, I'm just saying, it's like even the THC lay stuff, it's all kind of like, they all kind of look the same.
Yeah.
And yeah, I would be pissed if that happened to me and I was a sober guy.
All that heroin kombucha they keep selling in supermarkets.
Too much.
Yeah. I love kombucha, but I love them both separately.
Right. Since we vaguely talked about it, there was a guy who was caught at the in the audience of a snooker championship in England that was happening. And this kind of went all over TikTok and went viral, and sort of everyone brought out their pitchforks. If you do find video of it, just everyone's asking to like find
and
play
incredibly
the video
upsetting video.
Sorry. Face is blurred.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea. Oh, I can't find the one where his face is blurred.
So you might not even need to show it, because it's really disturbing. And you guys that are really interested can find it. But it's essentially
here's a blurred photo.
Like a dad.
At least.
Okay, yeah, here's a photo.
You can guess how close audience. He was.
This photo is essentially like 1/20th of how gross the encounter was. He essentially like goes up to him, nuzzles into his neck and bites the kid's ear and says something, and it's not like, it doesn't look parental in any way. And so obviously all the folks online were like, we gotta fucking find this dude. And I guess they found him. I've seen his name online. I think there is a police report that's been filed. I just haven't seen like a follow-up to it.
Yeah,
that's all. So if
this microphone was a child, he does this to it.
I fucking catch you.
Like, so that's what it looks like.
And just watching you do that creeps me out.
Yeah, it's horrible. And also, I mean, it's unfortunate that it happened at the snooker championship, which already sounds to me like just a pedophile championship. I don't know. I didn't know what snooker is till this. I was like, oh, I guess the pedophile was at the pedophile show where they snooker. I would be scared to bring a kid to an event called snookering. I just sound off to me.
You're right. It's not a great name. It's like borderline a slur. It's very close to just many other things. Too much.
Yeah.
Too much. Don't take your kids. So hopefully that guy, hopefully he's just a, hopefully he's his dad and he just like was weird for a second. That's what I hope. That's like, I can't really watch that and be like, nah, I can't explain away the sensuality in which he did that.
What if his wife and his son have, they're the same height and they have an extremely similar haircut. So the whole time, she's just a short hair queen. He's like, thinks he's next behind his wife the whole time.
Oh my God. I hope that's, you know, what's going on.
What's fucked up though is this, could you arrest this guy for this even? Like, could this hold up in court to get him in any trouble? It feels, watching it, you're like, yeah, he should be buried under a prison probably. But
I think for this one action, I think you've got to do an investigation. This one action leads to an investigation. And in this investigation, you interview the kid, you interview the rest of whoever lives there. And if it's found out that anything is going on, you take the kid away if he's under his guardianship, and then you prosecute the dad.
Yeah, child endangerment. This has to count as child endangerment. It's like, it's one of the horniest like encapsulations I've seen in a while for not having like actual sex in public. It is wildly horny, the energy he is putting straight into that kid's ear. It is truly disturbing.
And then the look to the camera where they both mugged for the camera, like the part that I think that's throwing everyone is that they both looked at the camera and went like, hey, like if you were doing something illicit, you would probably be like, oh, put your hat down or something, you know, and just like, oh, shit, I'm busted. Like whenever they catch a guy cheating on his girlfriend, like in a baseball game stadium, you know. This guy was just, he did this. And it seemed like he was not worried in the slightest that he was doing anything potentially inappropriate.
That is a wild way to try to play off getting caught being a pedophile on camera, to like just Jim from The Office it, but like times 10. Just be like, oops.
Yeah. Look right down the barrel and just be like, I'm a less.
Damn, well.
What a terrible situation. I really, I have been paying attention to that story. I'll break it maybe tomorrow during our Patreon if there's any new information. I do have something here from our very own Live and Sleazy.
Ooh.
This was sent to me by Tasty, who I think Live and Sleazy sent this to. It's called celebritiesbreath.com. And it's, you guessed it, celebrities' breaths in a jar for you to purchase. 100% authentic. No way they could fake this.
I mean, it's the fact it's just them photoshopped in front of like a... for the audio listeners, the website is just weird photoshops and seemingly one AI image of celebrities in front of like a high-end protein powder style jar, like a black jar kind of behind like Steve Carell's face. And Lionel Messi, I think that looks kind of like an AI Lionel Messi holding a jar of nothing, of air. His air, though.
Yeah, some people might call this website bare bones, minimal. I say clean, modern. Okay.
Jeff Bezos.
Tom Cruise is on sale. Yeah, Tom Cruise is on sale. Jeff Bezos is $40. Is there a more expensive jar of breath?
Why is it all men? Okay, now we're at the ladies. See, Taylor's. There's no way that Tom Hanks's air or Idris Elba's, no disrespect to them, is worth the same amount as Taylor Swift's air. The amount of perverts that would actually want Taylor Swift's breath has got to be way higher than the amount that want.
Yeah.
I was about to say Colin Firth, but then I was like, maybe some people want Colin. At least Steve Carell's breath.
I don't know how this is still up there. I want to know how many sales. And like that somebody's a go-getter like this, like a little hustler?
They have a pre-order for Tom Cruise's breath. So just know it's sold out currently, but you can pre-order the refresh of stock. I guess, like, is the ultimate plan to get away with something like this to just be like, it was for charity and it was actually kind of an ironic statement?
Yeah, this was art. Mm-hmm. And we're poking fun at modern capitalism by doing something that's obviously fake.
And I made 60 grand ironically.
Yeah, yeah. If you're doing this, if you're faking this, are you putting in the effort of like putting in different kinds of breaths in the jars, or are you just sending out
just air? I guess you could try to put a little bad breath smell in there, so people, because that's cheap. You can like buy a spray bottle of like breath smell, and then maybe when people open it, they're like, wait a minute, that actually smelled like something. But do I respect the hustle of this? Okay, I guess if you're buying celebrity air, you do have it coming a little bit, for sure. Like, you spent... It's like when one of those conservative senators has a scandal, and it's broken by his, like, sycophantic staff that have been working for him for 10 years. And they're like...
Yeah.
Would you believe he was mistreating, like, male prostitutes? I did work for him for 20 years, and I'm just telling you this, but... Like, if you're buying air, you're kind of in a similar boat for me, where I'm like... I don't know. Why are you buying celebrity air?
It's a little bit of shame on you. Fool me once. This is also reeks of those AI experiments with the guys like, all right, AI, create me a business that I could get off the ground in the next 24 hours and make $10,000 by the end of the month doing that, takes no resources, no skill, minimal inventory. And it would just tap into the sort of like the trends in popular culture, obviously fart jars and things like that from like Amaranth have proven to be quite lucrative for her. And that's gotta be like absolute minimal inventory. Like, all you're paying for is a glass jar. Got maybe you do plastic jars, and those things are like 10 cents a jar. Like,
you gotta go plastic. Just like,
do you think you get pissed if you get a plastic jar instead of a glass jar?
Definitely, you'd love the. You'd love for it to come in like a cryo tube that you like twist open, like, you know, in the movies when they're unlocking like nuclear uranium.
Yeah.
The smoke billows out. You enter your key pass.
Yeah.
And then it just kind of aerosol sprays out Steve Carell's fetid breath directly into your nose. The reason I think it's got to be a joke is the fact that Steve Carell is on there. Like, not that I like Steve Carell, but I just can't. I feel like the pervert laser beam of the internet just isn't pointed that squarely at Steve Carell.
I can't put him in that same four square right there. I just don't see him on the same level.
And Russell Crowe is another slightly odd choice. And if you want to smell Russell Crowe's breath, you just have to go to like a bar in LA and wait.
Yeah. It's like cigs and beer for sure. I did sign up for the email list.
Oh, good.
So if you scroll down to the bottom, I believe there is a do you want to become a breath catcher, which is I think their content creator program.
Oh,
which
God.
I signed up for. So if you are near a celebrity, maybe you can just sort of like get them to do a sneeze or a breath or something into the jar, which I'm about to do.
Well, but now I'm back in support of it.
I'll let you know if I get one back.
This is a new way to harass celebrities, which I'm always in support of. So just considering to desanctify every part of their body and let them know that it belongs to the people, actually. Colin Firth, your breath even is ours. And it is meant to be commodified.
The king's breath. Thank you, Live and Sleazy, for sending that over. That made for a wonderful part of the pod. I wanted to talk to you about this Jerry Seinfeld news.
Oh, yeah. I was looking at this yesterday. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, maybe you could pop that up there.
Let me find the clip real quick.
I thought
quick.
He was a pretty liberal dude, but maybe he's like me and walks the line sometimes. I don't know.
I think he's like more centrist Democrat-y liberal. And I do think part of their gimmick now is to complain about this stuff. They're sort of meeting the chuds in the middle and complaining about woke culture. That's kind of the new, or maybe the last 5 year type of agreement. It was easy. Okay. Yeah. Here's the clip. And obviously this, a lot of people online are like, finally somebody said it, which is great. Well, I guess we can just play the clip so we know what we're talking about. Just
nothing like really affects
comment for me.
People always need it. They need it so badly, and they don't get it. It used to be you would go home at the end of the day. Most people would go, oh, Cheers is on. Oh, MASH is on. Oh, Mary Tyler Moore is on. All in the Family's on. You just expect it. There'll be some funny stuff we can watch on TV tonight. Well, guess what? Where is it? This is the result of the extreme left and PC crap. And people worrying so much about offending other people. Mm-hmm. When you write a script and it goes into four or five different hands, committees, groups, here's our thought about this joke. Well, that's the end of
it. That never happened in the
90s. They move the gates, like in skiing. Yeah. Culture, the gates are moving. Your job is to be agile and clever enough that wherever they put the gates, I'm going to make the gate.
So that is weird because he starts with like the standard chud complaint of like PC culture ruining comedy, and then by the end he's a little bit like the gate's moving, you gotta keep up with the times. I'm like, well, okay, is he complaining or sort of riding the line? Well, not even riding the line. He's like taking a line and then taking a slightly different line, in my opinion.
Yeah, sometimes I feel like Jerry Seinfeld puts himself up in the. He's like the one putting his own bust in the Comedy Hall of Fame up, you know, like he walks in there every week and makes sure his shit's shiny.
He donated a billion to the hall so that it has his name on it.
Because he's the most mid stand-up act that's ever lived. Like, I think if you were to find the most like generic, down the middle, almost boring, borderline observational humor, it would just be his act.
Yeah.
And every joke, it's like the same formats, the same setup, it's the same delivery. There's never any surprises in his act. It is a continuation of what he's been doing for decades, and it's like rarely changed, just the topics have. And yeah. Because he's associated with the greatest comedy sitcom of all time as a creator of it, I think by this time we mostly know, like, that's mostly Larry David's sort of
feels that way, at least.
Stink that's been put on that stuff. And Seinfeld was an integral part of it, but like maybe not as big of a part of the success of that show than, you know, at least his humor isn't imprinted in the success of that show as much as Larry David's. But I don't know, the whole Cars with Coffees thing, like it just felt like, oh, what are the kids doing? Internet videos? Like, oh, I've got 100 Porsches. I've got the world's largest Porsche collection. I'll just take one out every week and I'll bring a new person in because they all want to kiss my ass. And then we'll go around, we'll talk about the biz. Comedians talking meta comedy is like, oh my God, it's the biggest jack-off session in the world. Like whenever Joe Rogan is talking about, like, you know, there's probably only 250 of us actual comedians.
Oh my God, I love that clip so much. People that are
it is a little up. Yeah, it's just up their own ass. And, you know, I love Seinfeld the show. I'm just not a huge Jerry Seinfeld fan. I also don't hate the guy that much, but like he doesn't need to, I feel like he doesn't need to do this part.
Like, yeah, it's like Ray Kroc being like gourmet food is dead. Yeah, it's like Ray Kroc being like gourmet food is dead. Like, oh, okay, well you did make McDonald's, so I don't know if you'd have to be complaining about this, although you are still allowed to, I guess. It's like the kind of thing I don't super care about, but he's kind of been like ringing this bell for the last like 6 years, because he's one of those comedians that was complaining about, like, I went to a college campus, and when I did my bit on how customer service has gotten worse, they barely laughed. It's also odd because he's like, I can't do edgy comedy. I'm like, when did Seinfeld do edgy comedy?
Never.
When was he like, let's talk about genocide. Let's mine my Jewish heritage for laughs. Like, yeah, I don't think he's ever been that guy.
The edgiest thing would have been the 9/11 episode that me and you read on the show.
Yes, absolutely.
The spec script. That was the edgiest thing that they've never done.
Mm-hmm.
So that's Jerry Seinfeld. I don't know. I think he sometimes needs to like relax. We all respect you. I think sometimes he's just looking for a little more respect out there.
We all eat at McDonald's sometimes. So you don't have to make the gourmet complaint.
Kanye West to launch Yeezy porn. Now, you guys know I have a deep affection for anti-Semite Kanye West. Big fan of his music. But yes, it gets very hard to defend him when, basically anything that he does outside of music is an embarrassment. And right now, his latest venture is supposedly going to launch his own porn company called Yeezy Porn. I still don't know if this is like 100% a joke or not, but it seems like based on this article that there's some sort of wheels in motion to launch it with Stormy Daniels' ex manager. This is a real big swing the other way from a guy who released a gospel album a couple albums ago, who's really up on his Jesus and, you know, all about getting people into God's light, praying for it. And now, since him and Kim K broke up, he seems like he sort of drags around this half naked woman and is about to launch a porn site. So the guy can kind of do it all.
He does have the vibe now of a guy who put like a model in a grocery bag. Like he walks around like he's, you know, dropping off a lady in a bag for someone. I don't quite get where his fashion's gone. It's like, he was apparently at Disneyland recently, and whoever he's dating currently wasn't even wearing shoes. He's just walking around in, like, you know, Kmart plastic and no shoes.
Yes. He's dating this, or is actually, I think it's his wife now, but she's a architect and supposedly a genius, which is always fun for me to say.
Just like Kanye.
Just like Kanye. And she's apparently in charge of she's like the chief architect person over at Yeezy, and they're married.
They're married. Okay.
They're now married, and
they're not married.
Just
They are married. Okay. So
they are married.
I'm changing every 2 seconds.
And he brings her around in the sheer tops in public places. And like, she seems like she's totally okay with it. I don't know if it's in our heads, we're like, he has to be forcing this on her, but she seems to be, I don't know, like 100% behind him, whatever she's doing, she's into it. She stands up for him. She's not a bad looking lady, I'll tell you that. But yeah, she's blowing him in Italy. Remember that? Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, that had a very like fast food kind of vibe to it. Like they really had to get it and get out fast. He's just on a boat. He's like, all right, let's make this quick. I got to go do a podcast in 2 minutes. I have to go complain about Jews for 6 hours. So.
He still manages to get into my timeline. God damn it. All right, let's do one more story before I call it a pod here. I like this one from Chris. Yeah, I know. Sorry if I keep blowing my nose.
Oh, you're fine.
I'm trying to do it out of frame. Chris Hemsworth takes blame for Love and Thunder. This is something that came out of a Variety article that just came out. This is a, I don't know, one of these pieces that Chris Hemsworth, PR person, is probably like, we should do something. Let's get you out there talking about your roles and how you want to do more. And then, you know, and this is the sort of the lead story, which is he got caught up in the improv and the wackiness, and sort of feels bad about how those films ended or were last left.
Yeah. He said, I got caught up in the improv and the wackiness and I became a parody of myself. I didn't stick the landing. Which, you know, that's an interesting way to put it. Maybe he's trying to like pivot back to being taken a little more seriously or something. It is funny to me, like the idea of doing like a bad improv set and then having to apologize for it like 2 years later, being like, oh, yeah. I just, you know, yes-anded and I zigged when you zagged and I really ruined my whole image with that 15-minute improv set. But instead it was like during a $300 million movie with like 1,000 jobs on the line for this franchise to continue.
Right. Yeah. He sort of goes on and so this article, I think, is doing a couple of things. It's he calls out filmmakers that he would love to work with, like Scorsese and Tarantino and Spielberg and all these folks. And it's him recognizing that, yes, I did the muscly action guy thing, but I can do a whole lot more. I'm proving that by doing roles like Furiosa or whatever. He's claiming his Furiosa character will show a whole other, and I believe him. I think he's a great actor. Yeah. I think he's actually got incredible comedic chops. And I don't know, when I saw Love and Thunder, and we were at G4 still at the time, I remember seeing it with B Comp and Vanessa, and we walked out of the theater and we're like, that was fine. I mean, yeah. it was fine. Like, it was really wacky. I liked Ragnarok, so I liked a lot of the jokes that were in Love and Thunder. But this was also like right at the groundswell of these sort of right wing, go woke, go broke. Like these guys were just forming out of the ooze, you know, they were coming out and they were starting to realize that they could get clicks based on, oh, well, let's just trash everything that Disney has going on because they're taking away like our chiseled hot manly men. And they're putting women in roles, God forbid. And this was like very early in their evolution. So this was like a crucible for these dudes at the time. I think there were only like the Geeks and Gamers guys and like the Quartering.
The primordial like ooze of Geeks and Gamers.
Yeah. And now there's so many of them.
One of them figured out how to do an eye warping effect in Photoshop. And that's when it was over for all of us.
Oh, dude, it was over. Put the red laser beam eyes in there. Sometimes it felt like a security guard for the team. Hemsworth said, I would read everyone else's lines and go, oh, they got way cooler stuff. They're having more fun. What's my character doing? It was always about, you've got the wig on, you've got the muscles, you've got the costume. Where's the lightning? Yeah, I'm a big part of this thing, but I'm probably pretty replaceable. So I think he was just like wanted to feel like his character was doing the cool stuff that other characters were doing instead of just being the hot Aryan Greek god.
And this feels like an ex-boyfriend or something recounting his relationship. Yeah. I was still in shape, but you know, a couple years in, I just felt like did she even need me anymore? Which is ironically the condition his character is in that movie. I guess maybe he just acted too hard and it's really stuck with him.
Yeah, he went full method. I like Chris Hemsworth. I am excited to see him in Furiosa. I like when they ug up a hot guy. I really do. It's like so brave.
Mm-hmm.
So brave when they put a prosthetic nose on these dudes and they expect them to go out and deliver a performance. It's like, wow. But I think he is a great actor. And he's also not doing himself any favors if he's trying to branch out by doing all these like Netflix action movies. I feel like maybe he should do more of the talkies. And so,
best
of luck, Chris Hemsworth.
I was watching some YouTube video on Ryan Reynolds' career, and I wish I could say who is making these points because I'm about to just steal them. But their basic point was, he's so successful and he's made so much money. You would think he would do like a couple for him, a couple like kind of artsy projects where he gets to express whatever he feels like to express inside. But instead, he's only done exactly the same type of movie his entire career while running a wealth management app. So I think maybe now we're just into the generation of actors that are just super down to be the brand, except for maybe Chris Hemsworth, who's feeling that siren call back to being an artistic buffed guy that does action.
Yeah, that's true. God, does he have a wealth management app?
He was the Mint Mobile guy or whatever, finance app.
Oh, I see. Yes. Yeah. That's true, man.
And also, he loads up his movies with whiskey.
You can stay in one lane for your whole career.
Yeah, for sure. But apparently, he has like six other companies, and they appear.
This Deadpool movie's gonna crush.
I think so. That's the one for him. Yeah, coming back.
It's gonna crush.
All right.
It's gonna crush. It's they're in the middle of doing reshoots right now, and so.
Oh shit.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Okay, yeah, I can hear.
Okay, good.
So they're going to finish up reshoots. They're coming up to the wire on that movie. That'll be huge. I'm guessing $1 billion. And I can't wait. It's going to be Disney's only movie all year. Saddle up. By the way, if you guys have been gifting subs, gifting biddies in Case's chat, now is the time where you get your nice little pat on the back, a little shout out from the Case man himself. We will see you tomorrow for our Patreon. I'm gonna be try and stream if I feel better, probably in the afternoon, if I do right before the Patreon. And obviously a big shout out to hardaudiocables.com, promo code Quio, save yourself 15%. And that's it for me, Case. We're gonna do X-Men tomorrow as well. Yes.
Ooh, nice choice. All right, Chad, if there's any particular beat you want me to punish your ears with this week, let me know. I'll run through these subs. Looks like it's not a super long list, so I can really lean into each of these. God, why am I so bad at finding where these start? Okay, there it is. Seinfeld beat? Oh, I'm on my Wale. I'm in my Wale era. Okay, Seinfeld beat. Seinfeld trap beat, please. You got to put trap in if you want to find the YouTube beats. Seinfeld in the trap, Reloaded. I can rap in my Seinfeld voice. Everybody's got what the fuck? Oh my god. Where's the beat? Jesus Christ. Oh, where's the beat? We fucking going in like Kramer in the streets. Yeah, I'm Seinfeld, best believe it's going down. We got a follow coming in from Whoa, Buster Brown. We got a shadow coming in from Miss Gina Darling. This is a show about nothing, but here is the thing. I'm taking you bitches from 7 to 11. Got a sub coming in from Super B67. Local puppet, they ain't Muppet, but they never fucking stump it. They don't stop it with the sub coming for 16 months. We love it. Hype train, level one, here we go. Because we are the shit. Well, we'll phone her up here. No, she won't. She's not here. Entity 10011 is here with the gifted sub. 1 month love. Matt Liddell, 5 streak from hell. Okay, I'm taking you bitches to the fight. Seinfeld school. Comedy is back. Thanks to Dr. Cool with the sub. But that is just the start. We fucking bits coming into my apartment. It is Seinfeld's apartment. You're in Seinfeld's apartment. Kenji058 with the six with 14 months like a sack full of dicks. True Blue 90 wonders. Well, here is something. They got 18 months and I'm not even fronting. We got Street Marine like a veteran on the scene with 18 months because they're so damn mean. 100 bits from Entity. And that's it. King of Bacon with 400 bits. Oh my God. And that's the Seinfeld rap.
See you guys tomorrow.
Bye, everybody.